In Kuwait, hundreds of families have a deeply personal stake in the debate whether to use force to oust Saddam Hussein. They are relatives of Kuwaiti citizens still missing since Iraq invaded in 1990. Kuwait says more than 600 men and a few women are unaccounted for. Some families are hoping war will bring word whether their loved ones are still alive. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Jamal Al-Attar worked as an engineer for Kuwaiti television in 1990 when Iraqi soldiers threw him in jail 6 weeks into their occupation of this oil-rich state. The Iraqis accused Jamal of sabotage and said he was part of the fledgling Kuwaiti resistance movement. They charged him with killing Iraqi soldiers. Kuwaitis optimistically called the 605 missing from that time prisoners of war. But Abdulhamid Al-Attar knows his son Jamal is probably long dead.
Knowing what kind of regime is in Baghdad, knowing the history of Saddam Hussein and his men, I personally tell you as a father, I have little hope that my son is still alive. Many families share me the same feeling, but sometimes we hate to say that because we cannot imagine, we as families, father or husband or mother, we hate to say it, but inside we feel it.
Perhaps he was part of the resistance, Al-Attar says of his son. If so, I'm very proud of him, he adds, and I hope he killed some Iraqis before they killed him. Naima El-Yagut remembers well the last time she saw her three brothers, all soldiers in the Kuwaiti army. She'd been arrested and transported in a crowded bus to a prison in the southern Iraqi city of Basra. She couldn't speak to her brothers, but seeing them across the jail yard, she says, gave her hope. The next day saw the start of the U.S.-led attack on occupied Kuwait. She hasn't seen Walid, Adnan, or Hani since. Now Naima is once again looking to the U.S. to help her find out the fate of her siblings. We want the war today, before tomorrow, she says. We need to know whether they're dead or alive, and the end of Saddam is the only way to find out. The fate of 605 missing will likely have no impact on the debate over whether the U.S. uses military force to disarm Iraq. But for many families of the missing, the prospect of Saddam Hussein's ouster offers the first sliver of optimism they've had in years. Fatima Hussein al-Nasser's 20-year-old son, Faiz Hussein, worked in the Kuwaiti Postal Service when Iraqi soldiers took him away one night in late 1990. There were no charges, she says. He was a postal clerk. But too often he would leave our house during the occupation, she says, so the Iraqis became suspicious. The last I heard of him was 5 years ago, she says. It was just a rumor from a released prisoner who said he thinks he saw him. After a pause, she adds, it's all in God's hands. It's all God's will.
Allahu Samad. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
For many of the 605 families of the missing, the mosque and their faith have helped them cope with 12 years of uncertainty. In large part due to intense UN pressure and the prospect of war, Iraq recently agreed to the first new talks in 4 years on those still unaccounted for from the Gulf War. The Iraqis say more than 1,000 of their soldiers are missing, hundreds of whom they believe are in Kuwaiti jails. That's a charge Kuwaitis, such as Abdulhamid Al-Attar, flat-out deny.
Saddam Hussein claimed those prisoners only 9 years after the invasion. We have only 4 or 5 Iraqis who tried to assassinate George Bush, the father, and they were sentenced by court in 1994. But we have no Iraqi prisoners of war at all.
Several sources say last week's Red Cross and UN-sponsored talks in Jordan accomplished nothing. All the Iraqis want to do is talk about talking, one Kuwaiti government official told NPR. They talk of procedure and logistics, he said, but no new information on the missing. The next Red Cross-sponsored meeting is scheduled for the middle of next month in Amman. One Kuwaiti said optimistically, that is, unless the Iraqis are unable to make it, due to international circumstances. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Kuwait City.